We're continuing the shiur in Sipurei Maaseis. We started the story of the Zion Betlers, the seven Betlers. We had one shiur so far. This is the second shiur. We spoke about a king who gave over the kingdom to his son during his lifetime. And there was a big celebration, a tremendous ball. And at the end of this, during this celebration, the king got up and he told his son, basically, that being that I have the knowledge of astrology, I can see in the stars that there's going to come a time that you're going to fall. You're going to lose the kingdom. And therefore, make sure you see to it that when that happens, you should not get depressed. You shouldn't fall, but rather, you should be happy. And if you'll be happy, I'll be happy. And even if you'll get depressed, I'll still be happy. I'll be happy over the fact that you're not king. Because the fact that you become depressed as a result of losing the kingdom shows clearly that you're not worthy of being king. However, you're not worthy of being king if you get depressed when you fall from the kingdom. However, if you'll be happy, then I'll be extraordinarily happy. And now, Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, goes on to say that the king, the new king, which was the prince, took over the kingdom with great power and strength. And he put in new officers and dukes. He put in a whole new staff, his own staff. And this prince, who is now the king, was very smart. And he appreciated and loved intelligence tremendously, and he had very smart people working with him. Just to pause here for a moment, this is a very important point that's mentioned throughout the Torah, the fact that we have these attributes of Hashem. We have the attribute of kingdom, which is referred to as the lowest one on the totem pole. When we describe the 10 basic attributes of Hashem, Malchus, kingdom, is the lowest one. Chachma, on the other hand, intelligence, knowledge, is the highest, the top. And throughout all the teachings of Kabbalah and Hasidus, there's always tremendous, tremendous emphasis showing the connection between these two. And how in order for either one of these to succeed, they have to cooperate and work together. We have this in the first chapter of Likud Imran. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the sun and the moon. And the sun symbolizes Chachma. There's a pasuk, Chachmas Odom Toyer Ponov. The knowledge of a person lights up his face, so that the sun is a concept of Chachma. The moon, on the other hand, has no light of its own, other than that it reflects the light of the sun. This concept of not having any light of its own, any power of its own, we know that a king, what makes somebody king, is others accepting his authority over them. Smartness is something that you study. You study books or whatever it is, and you have the smartness in your brain. Strength is something you have in your muscles. But kingdom, authority is dependent on others accepting your authority over them. So Malchus is dependent on others, just like the moon is dependent on others. The moon has no light of its own other than what it receives from the sun. And throughout the teachings of Hasidus, we always see the connection, the combination of this sun and the moon, whether this refers to a husband and wife, a rabbi and a student, Torah and Tefillah. There are many representations of this. And the Sforim tell us that this is why you'll find that usually kings or people who are in a position of authority, usually one of the most important things for them is their team of advisors, the chachamim that they have around them. The king is the authority. He's the one who's going to say, yes, no, we do this, we do that. But in terms of where he gets his information, how he comes up with his decisions, he needs a cabinet of ministers. He needs advisors. And they're the ones who are going to really, according to the information they give him, if his decisions will be made with the right information, he'll succeed. The kingdom will prosper, it'll succeed. And if not, Chas Hashem, the opposite. And we see this during the time of David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech. These were kings who were themselves major Chachamim, major Torah leaders, and they had the right people around them. They had tremendous success. When it comes to the son of Shlomo HaMelech, Rechavam, the Torah tells us that he had a crisis. There was a tremendous problem, tremendous economic stress that they were going through at the time, financial problems, and there was a question of which way to go, whether to insist that the people continue to pay taxes and to show them who's boss, who's the authority, or to try to let up, to go easier on them a little bit. And the Torah tells us that the elders, Rechavam had two teams of advisors. One team were elders, older people, more experienced, wiser, and then there were the younger whippersnappers who had less experience but very tough and considered themselves as being very smart and knowing what's right. And unfortunately, Rechavam made the wrong choice. He chose to accept his advice from his chachamim, the younger chachamim. And by trying to squeeze the people and impose himself upon them during such a situation, this is what ended up causing a split in the kingdom. The Jewish nation was split for the first time at that time. The two tribes and the 12 tribes and all the terrible things that evolved from that were based on this problem. The fact that the chachamim of the king, he chose to follow the wrong ones. So here we're told that the prince took over the kingdom. He had advisors. He himself was a major chacham, very smart, and he loved and appreciated and respected chachma. And he surrounded himself with major chachamim, very smart people. And anyone in the kingdom who would come to him and show him any new chachma, any new invention, anything new, any new knowledge, new wisdom, he would respect them tremendously for this. And he would reward them with whatever they wanted, with honor, with wealth, each one according to what that person was looking for. Person who wanted money was rewarded in dollars, euros, shekels, yen, whatever it was, a lot of money. And a person who wanted honor and respect was given tremendous honor and respect. All for chachma. All of this was for the pursuit of knowledge. And because of the fact that the king showed that he respected Chachma so much, all the people in the country decided to apply themselves to this. If this is what earns you respect and money, then this is the way to go. This is what to invest in. So all the people in the entire country were involved in Chachmas, studying all types of knowledge and wisdom. One person wanted money, in order to receive money for this. The other one wanted honor and respect. And just to pause here for a minute before we go on, we mentioned this previously, but this is a theme that's going to continue throughout the story. The Torah tells us very clearly what the purpose was for creation and what our mission and goal is in this world, in this lifetime. The mission at the end of Pirkei Avos says, "Kol ma shebora Hakadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamoi lo yibroi ela lechvodoi." Everything that Hashem has created, He created for His honor, lechvodo, to increase the respect and honor of Hashem. As the pasuk says, "Lechvodi," Hashem says, "For my honor, barosiv yitzartiv afasisiv." All of creation, every single level of creation is for my honor. Which means, as the Sforim tell us, that the moment that a person is interested in looking for honor for themselves, they're going against the whole purpose of creation. The whole purpose of creation was that all the honor should be directed to Hashem. A person would say, what do you mean? We have a pasuk in the Torah, one of the Ten Commandments, that says, Kabed es avicha v'esimecha, that a Jew is required to show respect, to give respect and honor to our parents. So if my parents are receiving honor, isn't that detracting from Hashem? And the answer is definitely not. If the sole purpose why I am showing honor and respect to my parents is because Hashem said so, because Hashem said to do this, and if Hashem had said not to respect my parents, I would not respect them, then the respect that I'm showing for my parents is really an honor and respect to Hashem. We have the term in the Gemara, Ritzono Zehu Kivodo, that the way that you show respect for somebody is by doing what they want, by fulfilling what they want. Hashem has expressed His Ritzon in the Torah. The Torah is the expression of the Ritzon of Hashem. Every time I fulfill any commandment in the Torah, whether it's respect for my parents, whether it's respect for rabbis, whether it's respect for my fellow Jew, whether it's respect for a Bet Knesset, a synagogue, a shul, a yeshiva, a place of Torah, I'm actually showing respect for Hashem by doing what He wants me to do. On the other side, the parents who are receiving this respect, or a rabbi who is being shown respect, their consciousness, their mindset is supposed to be, this isn't for me, this isn't because I'm so great, I gave my children breakfast, I gave them their food, their clothing, everything they have comes from me. If a person says that, they're closing their eyes to reality. The reality is you didn't give anything. Did you create it? Did you create the food? Did you create the clothing? Everything the parents have, they also receive from the third parent, from Hashem. The Gemara says that in the creation of a child, there are three partners. The father gives the physical structure, the bones, and the mother provides the flesh and blood. Hashem provides the soul. The battery comes from Hashem. And when it comes time for a person to leave the world, Hashem says to the parents, I'm not going to touch what's yours. I'm not just taking my piece out. I'm just taking the battery out. And Chas V'Shalom, we know that when that happens, the person dies. So too in everything that parents provide for children, or that a rabbi, the Torah that a rabbi provides for his students, that Torah came from Hashem. That Torah is a gift from Hashem, and Hashem gave him the knowledge, the wisdom, the ability to study, the ability to acquire the Torah, and the privilege of giving it over. So when a rabbi is being treated with any kind of respect, or a parent is being treated with respect, it's important that they know to play hot potato with it. There's a game, hot potato, where people are passing around a very, very hot potato, and if you hold on to it for more than a second or two, you burn your fingers. So the second somebody tosses it to you, you have to try to toss it away right away to toss it to the next person. The trick is to get rid of it as quickly as possible. So too regarding this kavod, any kavod that a person receives in life, the most important thing is to immediately pass it on to Hashem. If people are giving me any recognition for a sefer that I wrote, for a house that I built, for wealth that I, for anything, any respect and honor that's given to any person in this world, the trick is for the person to realize fully that this honor, the honor is Hashem's honor. All honor is really being directed to Hashem. They're giving it to me again because Hashem gave me the privilege. He put me in this position. He blessed me with children. He blessed me with students. He blessed me with wealth, whatever it is. But always never to lose sight of where it really is, where the kavod is really being directed to. Here, the fact that these people were pursuing chachma, knowledge, for the sake of money, or for the sake of personal honor, right away, that made it that the chachma, any knowledge they would acquire, was defective. It was going against the purpose of creation. So even if the person is smart, you get a professor, you get a person who studies for years, and climbs a ladder in whatever field of knowledge it is, whether it's secular knowledge, medicine, whatever it is, person climbs the ladder, they go to university, and then they go to graduate school, and then they go to medical, they go higher, and they achieve certain titles, certain honor. If that person holds on to that honor, if that person thinks that they really deserve it, it's me, it's I acquired this knowledge is mine, and therefore I deserve to be treated with respect, and I insist that I be treated with respect, then that person's chachma is defective. It's lacking. Because they've separated themselves from Hashem. They've unplugged themselves from the source, from the true source of anything that they have. And this is where we see here in the story that all the people were involved in the pursuit of chachma because they wanted money, because they wanted personal glory. And what happens is, as a result, they ended up forgetting tachsisei milchama. They ended up forgetting how to do battle. Tachsisei milchama means how to do battle. Which battle are we talking about? The answer is how to battle their evil inclination, how to battle the Yetzirah, how to battle. We know that life in this world, the Torah tells us, is called Melchemes HaYetzer. Person comes into the world and every step is a battle. To get up in the morning is a battle. He's got to battle those forces that are telling him not to get up. And to make sure every decision a person makes, to choose right from wrong, all of that is milchama. All of that is battles. And the Torah says, as a result of their pursuit of chachma, they forgot tachsisei milchama. Now we know that the Gemara teaches us that the most important weapon in battle is chachma. The Gemara says that if your adversary attacks you, if the Yetzirah comes, the evil inclination comes to try to get you to do something wrong, im poga b'cha menuvol zeh, the Gemara says, mashcheyu lebeis hamedrash, take him to the yeshiva, take him to a Gemara, to a chumash, go study Torah, acquire chachma, because the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, the other side, is all about rejection of chachma. It's all about stupidity, foolishness, lunacy. The Gemara says very clearly that a Jew commits a sin only when a spirit of foolishness has taken over. So the opposite of that is chachma. So the Torah says, if you want to do battle against your evil inclination, you want to make sure you do the right thing, chachma. Acquire as much chachma as you can. But make sure you don't forget what the goal is. That the chachma isn't an end. Chachma isn't an end, that when I'm going to acquire so much chachma, people are going to respect me so much. And they're going to give me so much money for it. I'm going to be able to command a higher salary. So much knowledge, so much university, I get such a salary, $50,000 a year. A little more, another title, they add another zero to it. I get $500,000. And so on and so forth. If a person's doing it for that purpose, that kind of chachma will not help the person in making the right choices in life, in being able to choose good over bad. We've seen, and we see every day, very intelligent people, very successful people, supposedly, who made a lot of money, major successes in business, in intellect, in knowledge, in whatever it is, who end up falling, doing terrible things. It's discovered that they made major mistakes in life that make them end up in prison, behind bars, or with incredible shame and embarrassment in front of the entire world, because of the fact that their pursuit of chachma was for the sake of money or self-glorification. Me. It's all about me, I, instead of the realization that it's all really Hashem. So Rabbi Nizal tells us here that they were all involved, all the people in the country were involved in chachmas, to the point where everyone in that country became very smart, very learned, intelligent, to the point where the least intelligent person in that country was far more intelligent than the smartest people in all kinds of other in all other countries. And as a result of their chachma, as a result of all of their knowledge, they became apikursim. They rejected Hashem completely. They rejected faith in Hashem. And they ended up drawing this prince, this new king, they ended up drawing him in it with them. Also, ended up rejecting Hashem. Now, the rest of it, this was the intellectuals, all the smart people in the country. Naturally, everyone wasn't on the same level. There were still some simple people in the country, and those simple people did not reject their faith in Hashem. Why? Because of the fact that there was a tremendous depth in the knowledge that those intellectuals, the intelligentsia, were studying, that these people couldn't get into at all. They were totally locked out of it. And therefore, they couldn't become as intellectualized as the others, and therefore, their knowledge, their intellect, didn't drive them away from faith, away from religion. Whereas the intellectuals of the country and the king, this prince who became king, they became complete apikursim. They rejected Hashem completely. One of the great rabbis, the Yavetz, who lived around the time of the Spanish Inquisition, we know that the Jews have been through many, many difficult periods throughout our history. One of the very difficult, terrible times in our history was the Spanish Inquisition, when the leaders of an opposing religion to Judaism were in power. They controlled the king, they controlled the Malchus, they were in charge. And their mission was to try to eliminate all Jews and Judaism by either expelling them, getting them to leave the country totally and naturally leave all their wealth behind, or if you want to remain in our country, you have to accept our religion. If you don't, you die. If we catch you faking it, if you try to make believe that you accepted our religion when in fact you didn't, you're still continuing to maintain your religion secretly, the Maranos, those people, if any of them got caught, they were tortured brutally, sadistically tortured to death, Rahman, terrible, horrific. So the Yavetz writes that those that know what went on at that time saw that the intellectuals, the very smart Jews, the majority of them fell. They ended up converting. Those that ended up converting, and they were able to intellectualize it. They were able to, with Chachma, try to come up with excuses, reasoning, logic, rationale as to why it was the right thing to do, rather than to give up everything they own. A person would say, which normal person who worked so hard to acquire such wealth and such a position of respect and stature in a country, I'm going to walk away from it? What am I, nuts? And these people were able to come to rationalize and to intellectualize and not give up their religion. To convert. Actually, some of them actually left the religion completely. Or some of them tried to maintain the religion secretly. And even then, there were many of them that fell along the way because it was so difficult. Whereas the simple people, the very, very simple Hamoinam, those who were not that learned and not that smart, not that intellectual, they were the ones who showed themselves as able to face death, that they would not reject their religion no matter what. If they were able to leave, they left. And anything they had, they left behind, not interested. And if they ended up staying and they were put to the test of give up your religion or die, torture, anything, they were the ones who were able to stand up to it. And this is in fact what Rabbeinu Zal is showing us in the story here about Chachma. That even though Chachma is one of the most important things in Judaism and in life, the Torah tells us that Hashem created everything, Kulam b'Chachma Asisa. Everything in existence has Chachma in it. And Rabbi Nachman writes in the first chapter of Likut Imran that in order for a Jew to come close to Hashem, a Jew has to observe the Chachma that's found in every single thing in this world, everything in creation, and attach himself to that chachma and use that as a wire, as a connection to Hashem. Use that to bring you close to Hashem. But that's assuming that in your pursuit of chachma, you're never ever letting go of your emuna, your faith. These two things, on one hand, seem to be opposites. We mentioned the sun is a ball of light. It's such a powerful light, if you look at it, it can harm your eyes. The light is so intense and so powerful. The moon, on the other hand, is completely lacking in light. It has no light at all of its own. So they seem to be literally on opposite end of the spectrum. In order to benefit from either one of them, you need both. Rabbein Ezal writes in a chapter on the Kutuman that emunah, faith, as special as it is and as good as it is, if a person has only faith without any das, without any intelligence, it's very possible for them to fall from their faith. You need the emunah has to have das, and the chachma, the das, must have emunah. Either one without the other one can't possibly work. And those cases where we see throughout history of people getting messed up, it's because of the fact that the example that's being said here of a chachma without emunah. For those that are familiar with the Likutei Moran, Rabbein Ezal's teachings there, there's a chapter in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 19, which is definitely one of the most important basic teachings in Judaism and in Rabbi Nachman's teachings, where we'll just touch on it. Rabbi Nachman begins by saying, Iker HaTachlis VaHashlemus, the main goal in life and the main perfection in life is Rak Lavoid Hashem B'Tmimus Gomor, is only to serve Hashem with the utmost of simplicity and sincerity. Bli Shum Chochmois Klal, without any wisdoms, without any knowledge. That's the goal, that's the most important thing. Now this seems to contradict what we quoted on page 1. On page 1 he said that everything is chachma and you have to look for the chachma in everything. The answer is that chachma is extremely important. Knowledge. A Jew is supposed to be increasing his knowledge every day, every minute, on condition that it doesn't contradict or conflict in any way with his faith in Hashem, with his faith in the Torah, with his faith in Tzaddikim. The moment a person feels a conflict, the moment that the two are competing with each other, there's a tug of war. My chachma tells me this, and my religion tells me something different, then a person has to know to put aside that chachma, to reject that chachma. And this is obviously the mistake that they made in this kingdom, by studying chachmas and not realizing, not watching carefully, that it should only be a type of chachma that teaches them more and more how to succeed in the battles that they're going to encounter throughout their life. Life is a battle, it's a war. It's a major war, and every day there's battles. And you win some and you lose some. But in this war and all of these battles, if I see that I'm increasing my chachma, I'm studying, I'm acquiring more knowledge, and I'm not doing better in fighting the evil, in negating the evil inside of myself, all around me, we know the Torah delineates good character and bad character. Good character is humility. Good character is the ability to appreciate and respect everyone else. Whereas bad character, examples of bad character, are arrogance. An arrogant person is a person who, the minute they hear somebody else give an opinion about anything, that person is a worm, that's a nobody. It was a waste of time, my time, to hear what that person had to say. Because only what I say is important, only what I say counts. I know what's right, I know what's good. And any second opinion, we know, for example, in the medical field, there are people who very often, when they have an important critical decision to make, whether to go ahead with a certain operation or not, chas v'shalom lo aleinu, one of the things that's advised in certain cases is a second opinion. You went to see a doctor, you went to see a professor who's very learned, very knowledgeable, he knows a lot, and he has a lot of experience, but he's human. He's human. And we know that human beings are fallible. Human beings do not know everything. The Torah says, Tshua Baroiv Yoyetz. Salvation comes from a multitude of advice. In certain cases, it's not enough to consult with one person, to hear one opinion on something. A person hears an opinion, they have to be open to hearing another opinion, to hear another side of it. And if the person will seek, will hear another opinion, sometimes it'll affirm the first opinion, it'll make clear, it'll make stronger the first opinion. Sometimes it'll be in conflict. They'll see this one says, one doctor says that for this condition, you have to avoid heat, nothing hot, only cold. Another doctor says that the best thing for your condition is you need a hot press. We find that there are many cases like this. One person says operate, one person says don't you dare operate. You operate on this person, you'll kill him. So sometimes there'll be conflict, and a person has to sort out within that. But we know that there are certain people who think so highly of themselves that when they give an opinion on something, if the person will say, thank you, I appreciate and respect your opinion very highly, but I'd like to try to look for a second opinion, I'd like to hear a second opinion on this also, there are certain people who say, then don't come back to me. I'm crossing you off my list, you're no longer my patient, I have no time for this, I have no... We see a certain attitude in the chachma, that the more knowledgeable a person becomes, the more they can't and are unwilling to hear what anybody else has to say. They can't have friends because no one is good enough for them, no one is smart enough for them. We find that Rabbeinu Zal, in one of his earlier stories, the ninth story, the Chacham and the Tam, the sophisticate and the simpleton, there Rabbeinu Zal really goes into detail in describing how a simpleton lives and how happy a person he is. And how he gets along with everybody. He can talk to anybody, can appreciate, he appreciates everything he has, etc. Whereas the sophisticate, a person who became too smart for himself, where again his sophistication was without religion. He lost his faith along the way. He got rid of his faith along the way. He got rid of prayer along the way. We know Rabbeinu Zal many times shows us that these two things are synonymous. Faith and prayer. Emunah and Tefillah, those two things go together. Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, Odia Emunascha Befi. I display my faith in you, Hashem, with my mouth. The more a person talks to Hashem, and the more seriously they take their prayer, their conversation with Hashem, the more that person believes in Hashem. So if we see a person who's becoming sophisticated, they're studying secular wisdoms, and as a result of their secular wisdom, faith and prayer are playing smaller and smaller roles in their life. I don't have time for prayer because I'm studying. I'm studying day and night to pass my tests and this and that, or I'm busy with my patients, etc. And prayer, faith in Hashem becomes something insignificant. We know that that's the wrong kind of chachma. Lahavdil, when we see people studying Torah, they're studying Gemara with Tosfos, they're studying Kabbalah, they're studying whatever it is. And we see that their prayer, their tefillah, is not serious. They don't take it very serious. It's not a very important or the most important aspect of their life. Then we know once again that it's this kind of chachma, their knowledge of Torah, is a knowledge that's taking them away from Hashem, that's pulling them away from Hashem, that's causing them to lose the ability to win, to fight the battle with the Yetzer Hara, and to win. There's a lot more to say about this. For now, this was introductory. This was a little bit. For more information on this, study all of the Torah, especially all of Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, all of it. Emphasizes and shows clearly to help a person make the right choices here, to know that we need chachma, but only the right kind of chachma, a chachma that complements our emuna, our tefillah. And at the same time, we need emuna, we need faith, but faith without any knowledge, faith without serious commitment to the study of Torah and to increasing my knowledge every day, that faith also, chas v'shalom, can fall. A person can fall from that. Question was raised, why is it that faith alone is incomplete? One of the examples we gave, a wife without a husband. The husband represents chachma, the wife represents emuna, the sun and the moon. The moon, without the sun, has no light to give. Faith alone, there's a pasuk that says, pesi yamin l'chol dover. A fool believes everything. If a person has faith without any knowledge, a person can say, I believe in Hashem, I believe in a tree, I believe in myself, I believe. It could be a misplaced faith. That's one of the reasons why, in order to know what to believe in order to show how one shows, there are many people who walk around saying they believe in Hashem, they don't keep Shabbos, they eat non-kosher, but they believe in Hashem, and they say they have Hashem right here. Hashem is right here in my heart. They're cardiac Jews. My rabbi used to say, Rav Rosenfels used to say, that there's a special room in heaven called the heart room, where they hang up these hearts. They have a lot of hooks where they put up these hearts, these cardiac Jews, people who thought that they believed in Hashem. They thought they understood the definition of what faith in Hashem is. It was the way they defined it, as it was convenient for them, you know, to say that I have Hashem right here in terms of what I do, as long as Hashem, he stays out of my way, as long as he doesn't get involved in my life, in what I do or don't do, what I eat, or, it's wonderful, I'm happy to have Hashem in my heart, I'm happy to give him a place in my heart. Whereas we know that again, that in order, the Torah says, kol mitzvoisecha emunah, all the mitzvahs, all 613 commandments are an expression or how we show our faith in Hashem. I show my faith in Hashem by putting on tzitzis in the morning and by making the proper bracha on food. A woman shows her faith in Hashem through her mitzvahs, through the mitzvahs of tznius, by conducting herself properly, all the different things that apply to each one. Just once we quoted that pasuk, and relevant to what we're speaking about, the Baal Shem Tov once commented on this in terms of which is better. Let's say if a person is put into a situation where they have a choice, you have two kinds of people. You have the fools, you have the people who are not so intelligent, not so bright, but they're very strong in faith. And then you have the people who are very bright, but their faith is not so strong. So the Baal Shem Tov said, it's true that the intellectuals will quote the pasuk, Pesi Yamin L'chol Dover, that a fool believes everything. They tell him this, they tell him to go to a grave of a rabbi, he goes to a grave, even though he doesn't understand it completely, he'll do things, even though he doesn't understand it completely. That's a fool. I would never do that. I would never do something unless I understand it totally. So the Baal Shem Tov said, true. The Torah does say, Pesi Yamin L'chol Dover, a fool believes everything. But he said there's another pasuk that says, Shomer Psoyim Hashem. Hashem protects the fools. Meaning that this type of fool, a fool who overreacts in his faith and ends up making mistakes sometimes because he believes too much, Hashem will protect him. Hashem will make sure that he won't stumble too far. He won't stray too far. He might trip and make a mistake and get hurt, and he'll need a band-aid that'll hurt him for a few days, but he'll get cured. A person who's very strong in faith, if he's honest, he'll recognize when he made a mistake, unless he wants to lie to himself. Here again, there is something that comes before faith. There's a prerequisite to faith, and that's truth. Emet. The Torah says, Emes ve'emuna chok v'lo yavur. The person to believe, to have faith in something that's untrue, I believe that this wall here is a potato. It looks like a wall, and it smells like a wall, but in actuality, I believe that this is a potato, a red potato. Person can say anything they want. And we know there are people who have all kinds of insane things that they call faith, where they direct their faith to ridiculous things, things that everybody considers absurd to believe in certain things. That's because it's lacking this the thing that comes before faith, which is truth, emet. And emet is tied into chachma also. In order for a person to know, to recognize the truth, it requires honesty on the part of a person. A person has to be able to be honest with themselves and honest about things around them. We're going a little bit too far off track. I want to come back to the story, but we touched on a few very, very important points here. The issue of emuna, the issue of chachma, and within chachma, the two types of chachma, that a person who is pursuing chachma for personal honor, for personal wealth, very likely that kind of chachma will lead them astray. Whether it's secular wisdoms, or whether it's Torah, whether it's halacha, person studying halacha with intensity, and passing, taking test after test, to become a rabbi, to become a dayan, to become a chief rabbi. If his goal is personal honor, or if his goal is wealth, financial wealth for himself, it's very likely that chachma is going to have holes in it. It's going to be a defective chachma. Whereas the pursuit of chachma, where it's being done because Hashem said so, I'm studying this to be able to be a better servant of Hashem. I'm taking another course and another course to know how to serve Hashem better, to know how to serve Hashem's people, to serve Klal Yisrael better. My mission is to all the respect and honor should go to Hashem. That's the kind of chachma that brings success. That kind of chachma teaches a person how to do battle, how to engage in the battles of life properly and to win. Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say that this prince, this Ben Melech, because of the fact that he was good, he had a certain goodness in him, because he was born with goodness, and he had good character, he was raised by the king, his father, and he had midos, toivos, v'yeshoros. He had tremendous qualities of good character. He would remind himself every once in a while, where am I? What am I doing? And every time he would think about that, every time he would come back to this reality of saying, what am I doing? What is all of this knowledge for? Where is all of this taking me? Where is it getting me? He would give a tremendous deep sigh over the fact that he fell into all of these conflicts, into all of this philosophy, all of this deep thinking that isn't really serving a purpose. It isn't really making me into a better person. It isn't improving my life in any way. And he would sigh tremendously. Notice he would express tremendous regret and remorse, realizing that something's wrong. With all of this knowledge and with all of this advancement, it should be making me into a really better person. It should be making me happier. It should make me feel fulfilled. And I don't. I see that even though I'm so smart, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of everybody. I'm never satisfied. Nothing is good enough for me. I find fault with everybody. Many people who pursue this type of intellect, this type of sophistication, all it does is shows them what's wrong with everybody around them and everything around them. And they end up being pessimists, major pessimists about everything. They're not happy people in any way. And when the prince would realize every once in a while, he would realize this, he would give a tremendous deep sigh. However, as soon as he started going back into the chachmas, as soon as he went back to studying his secular, all of this knowledge and everything, he would get stronger and stronger in the knowledge without the faith, leaving the faith out of it, leaving the faith in Hashem, religion, out of it completely. And this happened many times, that he would remind himself, he would realize that something's wrong here, something doesn't feel right. But then as soon as he went back into his studies, he would forget about it. He became stronger and stronger in his rejection of Hashem and his rejection of faith. The Torah tells us, the Gemara says, that even Rishoim, even wicked people, are molei charotos. They're full of regrets. They also experience at different times the realization, a short realization, that something's not right, something doesn't feel right, something doesn't taste right. If, when a person feels that, they jump ship, they say, they pull the emergency brake, they jump out of the train, they say, I'm not continuing. If this isn't right, no matter how pretty it looks, no matter how much people respect this, I'm not interested. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel real. It's not the right thing. It's not the truth. But a person who doesn't have the strength of character, the honesty to do that, says, what can I do? This is the world we're in. This is it. This is just like in this country. The king, the standards have been set that for being a nice guy, you can't go into the grocery and buy food because you're a nice guy. To buy groceries, you need money. Everything in this world takes money. And if in order to get money, I need knowledge, I need power, I need wealth, I need intellect, then even if I see that it involves, it takes me away from religion, it takes me away from the truth to a degree, well, I'll leave the religion for when I get older, when I retire, when I have $30 million in the bank and I have my house and my kids have everything they need, then I'll go back to the religious stuff. But for now, in order to survive, in order to exist in this world, reality, the reality of this world, I have to play by the rules of this world, which are wealth, and power, wealth and respect. This is the mistake that was made here, and Rabbeinu Zal will show us further exactly. This is going to lead us into the next major piece of the story. Hashem should help that in the zechus of being able to understand the messages, the subliminal advice that's found in every word in these stories, we'll make the right choices, we'll be zecha to pursue the type of chachma that turns a person into a better human being, a closer relationship with Hashem and with all the people around them. And in that zechus, we'll see the kingdom of holiness established with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu.